This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One of the big questions is,
what is money?
For practical purposes, it exists in a series of heterogeneous databases, very different databases.
Do you believe in crypto?
Digital currency may be an answer.
But it is the highly speculative asset.
I do own Bitcoin.
There is no second best.
Welcome to the Crypto Curious podcast, designed to help you navigate the dynamic world of cryptocurrency. We're here for anyone who is interested in crypto at all. Maybe you've already dipped your toe in the water, or maybe you don't know anything about it and this is the very beginning. But we recommend heading back to the early episodes to get your footing. However, if you're ready to dive in head first, then let's do it. In this week's episode, we discuss the Genesis and Grayscale fallout from the FTX saga. We touch on CZ and Coinbase, and there's a tweet story there, as well as discussing JP Morgan's digital wallet. And there's a whole lot of short, sharp news bites, so hang around. My name's Tracy, and this week it's Craig and I, as Blake is at NFT Fest with all of the other Aussies in the scene, it would seem. So we're holding the fort today and we're going to bring you the news from the last 7 days. But there's also an interesting bit of housekeeping this week. Craig, fill in our listeners.
Yeah, so we're actually dropping 2 episodes this week and we're going to be moving towards episodes on a Wednesday rather than a Monday. And the reason for that is right now we're recording on a Thursday. The episode goes live on a Monday and the crypto news cycle is firing at the moment. And what we've noticed is that by the time the episode comes out on Monday, we've probably missed one or two developments.
News. And it's not even just because of Sam and FTX, but the crypto space, as you guys all know, it just moves so quickly. There's so much news. There's so much going on because we do cover such a wide variety of topics. So we're doing this for you guys to make sure that when you hear your news now, which will be on a Wednesday, that it is recorded the day before and you guys are going to be well and truly up to date. So,
but better yet, yes. If you hit subscribe, then it will just be on your home screen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and you won't need to worry about jumping in. It'll be there ready for you. So,
ready to go. So, that's it. You're listening to us today on Monday, and you're going to get a double whammy this week on Wednesday with some more news. There you go. All right, so let's get into the news. And again, lots has happened in the FTX saga for the last 7 days. So let's recap. What do we need to mention to the listeners this week, Craig?
We'll just do a quick update on some of the revelations that have dropped and a new one that's just dropped this morning. So we've learnt from last week that Sam personally took $300 million of the $420 million raise that he did for FTX, essentially paying himself. And that little pay bonus made him the 6th highest paid CEO in the world. So generally when investors are investing in a company, they're investing to, I don't know, improve the product.
That wasn't in the pitch deck.
Yeah.
I don't think that was in the pitch deck.
So like it's kind of shocking that a company of this size, Sequoia Investing, Tom Brady, massive celebrities, there's essentially no due diligence on their end.
Oh, I'm sure there was. I'm sure there was, but it's at this point, it's smoke and mirrors. Like you said, who knows what was in that pitch deck?
I've got a new term, Tracy, that I think it is. It's the bull market goggles.
Okay.
Everyone just believes
in the hype.
In the hype and believes the best in everyone. And, you know, don't worry about DD. But yeah, now it's coming to the forefront.
And what also happened in the last 7 days was that the hacker converted 25,000 ETH, or about 30 million, into wrapped Bitcoin, which caused ETH actually to slip around 7% when it happened. At one point, we thought that the Bahamian government were the hackers, but they actually did come in and seize some different assets from FTX. So There is still a hacker out there. We still don't know who they are, but and they still do have close to 370 million.
I feel like this whole hacker story has just been like, everyone's just like, oh, yeah, on to the next thing. Like, this is a big deal, and we still don't even know who it is. SBF reckons it's an insider.
Mm.
There's Twitter threads going on about speculating who it is, but, yeah, we still have no idea.
Mm. But they're still tracing it. I was watching even just yesterday, someone's still tracing where it's going. There's small bits still moving, but the bulk of it's still just sitting there.
Mm.
But, yeah, look, another big revelation was that FTX owes $3 billion to its 50 largest creditors, and one person in particular has lost $226 million. So that's incredibly unlucky for that person. And there's a lot of speculation around who that is. We won't mention it here, but
has to be a fund. Has to be a fund.
You would assume. You would assume. Mm. But that's, you know, $3 billion to the 50 largest, that's a lot of coin.
Yeah. Mm. And more insult to injury, revelations have came out that Sam's parents own 19 properties in the Bahamas worth $121 million, most likely from FTX users. And also, the weak journalism continues. We touched on it last week. New York Times with the softest pieces on SBF. Forbes did a piece on Caroline, the Alameda CEO, also a soft piece of journalism, which is probably due to the fact that SBF has bankrolled a bunch of media companies, and now he's even talking at a New York Times event. So this guy has stolen $8 billion from users or lost, and now he's talking freely at an event. It's an embarrassment.
So you just told me this morning. So this has come out today. He's also – so let's go back one
step. Let's
so
go
what's
back.
Happened in the last 24 hours is that he's issued an apology. So this has come out. He's written an apology to his staff and his team. And we'll leave a link to that if you want to read it. It's a full page. It's a lot of waffle. He's placing blame. It's similar to what he said in these other interviews. He doesn't make himself out to be the bad guy here. Again, it's all accounting woes. It's a load of rubbish, to be honest. So that's come out in the last 24 hours to his staff. And then you're saying this morning he's also published that he's now leaving the Bahamas and going to New York. Because I also saw this morning somewhere. He's travelling to. I thought that the whole point was he was not wanting to get, because they're trying to extradite him, aren't they, to go to New York. Is he leaving to go and speak at an event, or is he doing this?
He's going to the Deal Book Summit with a journalist called Andrew Sorkin, who is a New York Times columnist. And Deal Book is essentially this Andrew guy's column, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the gripe is that this guy is essentially, I believe, a criminal for what he's done, right?
We all believe, yeah.
And now he's freely flying to New York to chat to a journalist. And now revelations have come out that SBF has actually invested in New York Times. And it really is a bit embarrassing, really, because after all this, there's one person in jail from all this saga, which is the kid that wrote the Tornado Cash Code, who is like a 20-year-old genius. He's in jail. Mm-hmm. But someone that can steal $8 billion from user funds is going to fly to New York and talk freely to a journalist.
Yeah, look, it's not right. And me and you were just before we started recording the podcast, we were talking to our lovely producer, Sasha, off air, saying that I saw a tweet early this morning about a guy in the Bahamas who's livid because in the Bahamas, you steal, I think this guy was saying, someone stole a sausage and now he's a sausage bun and now he's in jail for, you know, a couple of months, whatever it is, in the Bahamas. And Sam's there swanning around. There's photos of him and his parents in their lovely apartment and he seems to be getting away with it. He actually seems to be at this point getting away with it. However, I just don't think that's going to happen. He cannot get away with it. However, I am surprised he's travelling to New York because I believe they're trying to extradite him there. So it seems unusual that he would willingly fly there. So we might need to fact check that.
Well, Elon has been commentating about this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he summed it up very well. He said, he responded to the New York Times article and he said, this is one of the greatest failures in US journalistic integrity of the 21st century. I think that sums it up.
Wow, the fact that I'm agreeing with Elon, something's wrong in this world. Amazing.
Literally.
Look, I think, yeah, well, there you go. And that's a few things that have happened in the saga, and there's a lot of people reporting it out there. Genevieve from The Grit, you should follow her on Instagram. She's actually put some really funny and well-researched little posts up, so you can follow her. She's really on top of that story. But those are the ones that we know of for the last week. So let's move on to our next story. Genesis and Grayscale, they will be part of this fallout, and we are not sure where this is going. So Genesis has warned investors that it will go bankrupt without new funding. The platform recently stated it needs $1 billion as an emergency fund by the end of this week. It has reportedly had a difficult time raising the funds. Genesis held billions of dollars in FTT, which was the FTX native token. So by the time we do put this one live on Monday, we'll know a little bit more about this story.
So according to Ram Aluha, he's like a crypto commentator, he says that Genesis has lost more earnings than they've generated since inception. So obviously not a good look. All due to the 3RS Capital and FTX contagion, if you will. And that's not exactly a great sales pitch, because there's rumors, or I think they have, you know, suspicions that there is a $1 billion hole in the Genesis balance sheet. Tracy, what are your thoughts?
This kind of is scary for all the big players in the industry, because it will... Talk about contagion, then this will filter through even further, because DCA is the most prominent investment firm in the sector. So everyone, you know, there's tentacles run wild here. Everyone has some kind of link to these guys, which is why this is something that everyone's keeping an eye on. So it's unclear what the impact will be here, but there will definitely be a very, very big impact on the sector. And I guess we're going to find out after this week what will happen. In saying that, there's and me reading a little bit this week, there's a lot of people taking meetings. Apparently there's been no shortage of meetings to be had, because there's a lot of people who are quite willing to put their hand up to help.
Yeah, just so we'll put the link in the article in our show notes, but just to correct you, it's DCG, which is the Digital Currency Group, which is the conglomerate that Genesis is a part of. So yeah, the tentacles run deep, but it's sort of almost worth mentioning as well. Retail got burnt with Luna and with FTX. Now with this, Genesis, Grayscale, all that, you know, ecosystem, this is where the institutions are going to. This is where big funds have their money. So, you know, Cointelegraph have said this could have the potential of another black swan event.
Yeah.
Because as you know, institutions holding a lot more than us.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, quite doomsday story.
It is doomsday. And like, I think let's leave it there for that one. But the FTX saga, you know, probably has set the space back a year or two. But I think as an industry, we'll learn from this and be able to call out the warning signs for next time, because there will be another FTX, but I think things like this will learn from it, and people will be able to see the warning signs again, hopefully.
Well, my favorite bottom signal is crypto is dead. And I actually have seen a few articles about that. So everything here has signs of a bottom. Like, this is peak doomsday. Can it really get any worse? I'm not sure.
Yep.
Not financial advice. I've been saying it for 6 months. The bottom's in, the bottom's in. I'll be right one day if I keep saying it.
Speaking of the bottom, stocks have also had a pretty rough trot of it. And one of our crypto companies that's in the NASDAQ and not looking too good is Coinbase. So it could be a good buy right now. But look, many assets in the crypto ecosystem have fallen out because of FTX's insolvency. And this is definitely one that's felt the pain, because it is one of the ones where the regular people can pull their money out. And the Coinbase shares have hit an all-time low. Its shares have dived more than 80% year to date, hitting $40.60 this week. They had reached a high of $429.50, which was April of 2021. Regardless of this, founder Brian Armstrong has come out and stated that I'm just as bullish on crypto as ever. Then a little bit of a Twitter drama unfolded, and Craig, yeah. So this all happened yesterday, and we're all jumping on the phone and chatting about this. So tell us what happened. CZ again in the middle of the drama starting to think he might not be the good guy or the Luke Skywalker that we talked about a few weeks ago. Tell us what happened here.
So we'll put the link in our show notes, actually, because the tweet is deleted. But CZ, he took down FTX. He's been pretty open on Twitter recently, and he shared an article about Coinbase with some, you know, the article was clearly not correct, but he shared it and he said, Coinbase custody holds 355,000 Bitcoin for Grayscale. 4 months ago, Coinbase had less than 600K BTC. So he's essentially like trying to insinuate that Coinbase are insolvent.
Starting another run on.
But what CZ forgot is that Coinbase is a publicly traded company and all of their finances are public. You can literally go on there now and look at their balance sheet that they release every quarter for their earnings. Brian pretty much reshared it and said, this is FUD.
He even said that, remember, our financials are public. We are a public company. He also made another dig, Brian. He's like, remember, we all need to build this industry as a responsible way going forward. Be wary of false information.
Yeah. Well, CZ's not, Binance isn't public. Binance isn't even, you know, who knows.
However, Binance are making great steps towards doing the right thing with their proof of solvency. So let's not Binance out.
Let's not bag them out.
Binance as a business is great, you know, but I'm saying CZ as a person is running a very fine line right now of being just a bit of a troublemaker, to be honest. That's the word I'm going to call him.
Bit of a troublemaker, yeah.
Yeah.
But the commentary, and I tend to agree, like last week or the last few weeks, we sort of saw CZ as someone who had the best interests in mind, and I think this tweet has exposed him as like not a villain, but...
Because what did he do next though, Craig? Because he came out then and said...
He pretty much just said sorry. He just said sorry and he deleted the tweet.
He said, he tweeted again and said, Brian Armstrong just told me the numbers in the articles were wrong, deleted the previous tweet. Let's work together to improve transparency in the industry. Well, maybe you should have hit up your old mate Brian personally and said, hey, just heard this. What's the go there instead of gone public?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
But Coinbase are the most transparent. Like, you can read the shareholder notes. You can read all that stuff easily.
But how many big players are there in the centralized exchange industry? You've got up there, there's obviously Binance and, well, now left. There's Crypto.com and Binance and Coinbase, Kraken, all the big guys. Like, I'm just thinking about the big guys up there. And then I'm thinking about us here in Australia where you've got SwiftX and, well, Binance here, but you've got SwiftX, BTC Markets, Independent Reserve, CoinSpot. Who am I missing? I'm talking about all the Aussie ones. And we all get along. We all chat. We're all mates. You know, we're all trying to help the industry. We all speak often. You know, we would never do anything to try and, you know, hurt the other person. I just feel that CZ's really in this instance shown his true colours.
Yeah.
And if anything, Brian's actually looking the goods here.
I agree. And I mean, CZ has the power to move markets. Like, I think the Coinbase stock took a bit of a tumble after he shared that tweet. Then he deleted the tweet and then the Coinbase share price, you know, had a rebound. So it's no joke.
But in saying that, it's just CZ needs to, you know, his PR team needs to pull his phone out of his hand and move back, because Binance as a business are still doing a lot of, like, they jumped last week and got straight into trying to help anyone that's in trouble with insolvency issues because of what's happened. I mean, as a business, they're doing some really great things for the ecosystem. So, you know, again, it's just CZ that's probably doing some silly things at the moment. But let's leave that story there and head to a break. When we come back, we'll see what JP Morgan are doing in the space.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Crypto Curious. JP Morgan, excellent gymnasts. What are they doing in the space at the moment? Banking giant JP Morgan has filed a trademark for a digital wallet. The application for a digital wallet with crypto features has been awarded by the US Patent Office after more than 2 years in application status. Now, we often laugh about this on the show and point to the amazing gymnastic abilities of JP and their backflips in the crypto space. Because, like we've said this before, they were hating on crypto for a few years. But this last year, it seems that they're all over it, aren't they?
Yeah. So JP Morgan's run by this guy called Jamie Dimon. He's been very vocal in the past. Here's some of his quotes that he said. He said, "I think Bitcoin is worthless." He said, "Crypto has no intrinsic value." He also said that cryptos are decentralized Ponzi schemes and the notion that is good for anybody is unbelievable.
This is all, these are all a few years back. Like this is all pre, I think. This is all 2020, 20, yeah, yeah. And then it starts to change his tune a bit, yeah.
He starts to change his tune a bit. And, you know, since then, they've partnered with Visa. They have a blockchain product called Link, which is Visa's business-to-business network. Yeah. They helped carry on-chain transaction for the settlement of BlackRock assets, and
they're huge.
They even had Penda Space in Decentraland, so they're proper degens at this point.
Yeah. and that's all been in the last 12 to 18 months. So yeah. Again, they've gone from being not too keen to all of a sudden everywhere. So this is pretty big news. And the fact that it's been in for 2 years, I mean, I was trying to look back at when he made those quotes, and that last one of crypto having no intrinsic value was 18 months ago. So, but you know what? They probably file for the trademark just in case. They're not silly. So,
And it could just be from a settlement level. They might not even go to market with a crypto wallet per se, because the trademark itself does not exclusively apply to crypto. So, they might have just made a couple, but they've done one in payments, bill payments, e-check processing, all that sexy stuff.
Yeah, all the real fun stuff. But again, JP Morgan flying that flag for crypto again. So, good to see. Now, onto our short shard news bits, because there's a fair bit to get through this week. Pudgy Penguins will now be on your Kellogg's cereal box, which is pretty cool. Not all, and I don't know if it's going to make it over here to Australia, Craig, but someone's little Pudgy Penguin's done a deal, and over in the US you might see a cute little Pudgy. I don't think it's yours, Craig, but...
Wait, so they did a deal and now they're using the Penguin as like IP to sell cereal.
Yeah, how cool is that?
So you might have seen it. Barnett's dropped their first TV commercial featuring none other than Ronaldo on the eve of the World Cup. It is. What do you think about it, Trace? We'll put a link to it.
Didn't like it.
I thought it was a little bit cringe.
It was cringy. It was big budget. It was cringy. I didn't like it. Many will.
Crypto ads tend to be a bit cringy, don't they?
Yeah. Let's go next. Seeing as though you're cherry picking them, I'm going to cherry pick too. Mattel is debuting an NFT marketplace this week on Flow blockchain, and it's turning its toys into digital collectibles, and this is pretty cool. So the toy giant is launching an NFT marketplace which is going to look at its collectibles such as Hot Wheels and Barbie. So this is quite cool, and I was trying to work out whether the Barbie connection was still anything to do with the Boss Beauties, because they've got something to do with Barbie. But Hot Wheels is a big one. I think if they can click in here and get something going with the kids, then that'll be huge. But again, Mattel joining the action there with the marketplace on Flow. Interesting news.
If Flow had the NBA top shots and now...
They seem to be getting everything.
Interesting.
What's next?
So I was in Bali for the G20. I had a few meetings with Sleepy Joe Biden and some other world leaders. No, but Sleepy Joe was in Bali and he has been talking about crypto. He reckons that international rules that are consistent across countries are critical for the crypto space. I do agree with that. And he said potential risk to financial stability needed to be mitigated. So they're going to come up with a maybe cross-border rules that everyone should follow, which I think is probably a good thing.
Yeah, agreed. Next up, so a virtual version of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade will be held alongside the real one this year. And it's just a way of getting kind of the younger, more digital savvy fans excited about the event. The department store is launching a scaled down version of this, which will be hosted on the OnCyber platform. And the activation will also include some NFT galleries from some of the creators, and people can visit and vote on their favourite. And yeah, so that's quite cool, a real live version of downtown Manhattan for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Cool. Nansen have showed positive. So Nansen's an on-chain analytics platform. They've showed that NFT market is actually bouncing. So it's been pretty much down only for ages now. But they saw, you know, some pretty good volume in the last week. So 40 mil for OpenSea, 10 mil for Magic Eden, which is, you know, quite a big bounce from what we saw in the previous weeks.
That's good. Some good sentiment. That's good to hear.
Maybe finding a bottom, the NFT market.
Craig again with his bottoms. Okay. So investors are shorting Bitcoin and Ethereum in record numbers at the moment. So the statistics show more institutional investors than ever are betting on the price of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies going down, according to a report this week by CoinShares. Institutional investors' sentiment was deeply negative, according to the report, as short product inflows represented 75% of the total inflows, which is massive, actually. That's bonkers. But on that, I just wanted to round out today's episode and saying that we know historically that December and even November are not great for crypto, because December leads into tax time in the US, and it's a notoriously red month for crypto charts. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do get a sell-off leading into the Christmas period, and then we get that pump into the new year. So that's kind of what everyone's expecting. You know, obviously we've seen what's happened with FTX. Sentiment's not great. We're going into a period that's notoriously bad for crypto anyway. So that's, I think, where all these short plays are coming in. And I wanted to finish off by saying that remember that people often, this market in general often does the opposite of what we think it is. So if 75% of the market's shorting, then who knows?
What are you trying to say, Chase?
I'm just trying to say maybe you open a cheeky 100x long. No, just kidding. I'm saying who knows? This market likes to mess us about, and, you know, it's, yeah, wait and see. It's a interesting time, that's for sure. And that's it for this week. So join us again next week, or this Wednesday as it might be, and maybe bring a friend. Tell your friend about the Crypto Curious podcast if you've got anyone else, especially over this holiday period as well, when everyone's talking about crypto or people are asking you about FTX and what's going on. Point them the way of the podcast, because hopefully we're explaining things well for you. And if not, you've got more questions, then hit us up on the email, which is podcast@getbamboo.io, or on social media. We've got the Facebook page. Don't forget to rate and review us wherever you're listening to us right now. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
See you guys.
Crypto Curious is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. Equity Mates gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by a range of financial service professionals. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Crypto Curious are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Equity Mates Media does not operate under an Australian Financial Services license and relies on the exemption available under the Corporations Act of 2001 in respect of any information or advice given. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find the ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Crypto Curious acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to the elders past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.